So we're going to be something on the third Hermas here, chapter 9. Okay, third Hermas, chapter 9, it says, wherefore take care of yourselves while the tower is yet building. And we're also constructing the tower of God. Right here, in the first, or as he did in the first eighth week, we're doing the same thing here in the second eighth week. We're building the tower of the Lord. And when the tower is completed, the rapture will take place. So wherefore take care of yourselves while the tower is yet building. For the Lord dwells in those that love peace. For peace is beloved, but he is far, far off from the contentious and those who are full of malice. Wherefore, restore unto him the spirit in Tyre as he received it. All right? And that has to do with the spirit which God put within this vessel here. It has to be just as pure as it was when we received it, for him to receive it back again. It has to be just as pure. Which has to do with the pureness of his innocence. Here's another one. And third Hermas Similitude, chapter 10, 3 and 4. Okay, the angel and the shepherd come to Hermas here. If therefore, said he, you will be protected from all vexations and from all cruelty, and have success in every good word and work, and have all virtue and righteousness, walk in those commands which he has given you, and you shall have dominion over all sin. For if you keep those commands, all the lusts and pleasures of this pleasant world shall be subject to you, and success shall follow you in every good undertaking. Okay, that's in 3rd Hermas Similitude 10. 3rd Hermas Similitude 10:14. But I say unto you, keep these commandments, and you shall find a cure for all your sins. Of course, that's what he's talking about, is the work of regeneration. Okay, through the work of regeneration, the Lord is removing those things which we, savored, okay, in the kingdom of darkness, okay, which has to do with the thorns and the briars. So the Lord sends a cure. Of course, that's grace and truth. And through your priesthood, that's 3rd Hermas Similitude 10:14. Here's another one, 3rd Hermas Similitude 10:22. Then he said to me, go on manfully in your ministry, declare to all men the great things of God, and you shall find grace in this ministry. That's 3rd Hermas Similitude 10:22. Let's read a few things here from the Odes of Solomon. Okay, you can see we posted some things there, the Odes of Solomon, and also from the Book of Hermas there. Okay, and on my Facebook page, here's another one from the Odes of Solomon. We got a few minutes to go, waiting for the rest of the saints to come in. He says here in the Odes of Solomon, now the Odes of Solomon are really spiritual sacrifices. Okay, they're spiritual sacrifices of the church, okay, which the interpreters of the Greek and the Hebrew there, they gather together all these, you say, leaflets, okay, that they found, which apparently the early church wrote their sacrifices down on. Okay, and they compiled them together, and they decided to categorize it and title it the Odes of Solomon. Though Solomon did not write this. Okay, these are spiritual sacrifices of the early church, which you're listening to. So if these are the spiritual sacrifices of the early church, you can see exactly how the apostles were teaching. Okay, so these sacrifices here, again, are portions of the harvest of the knowledge that they received through the apostles of the first century. Okay, now these are Odes of Solomon here, which they call it, okay, 12, 11, and 12. For the dwelling place of the word is man, and its truth is love. Okay, that was a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice of a saint there in the first church. Okay, in the first century church. Here's another one. Blessed are they who by means thereof have understood everything and have known the Lord in his truth. Here's another one from the Odes of Solomon, chapter 18, 18 and 19. Right, his spiritual sacrifice included this. And they mocked at them that were walking in error. Okay, so apparently the apostle of the first century here, okay, was teaching them in regarding, well, they were reading the epistles here from the apostles. Okay, and then they were expounding things from the Old Testament and also expounding things there in the epistles which they wrote as the anointing was drawing from this knowledge. Okay, so this is a sacrifice here. And they mocked at them that were walking in error. And they spoke truth from the inspiration which the Most High breathed into them, a praise and great comeliness to his name. Hallelujah. That's another spiritual sacrifice from a first century saint, okay, which also we'll see in heaven, okay, upon the rapture of the church. He's awaiting his body, he or she. Here's another one, Odes of Solomon, 20:1-3. Okay, and this is what this saint says: I'm a priest of the Lord, and to him do I do priestly service, and to him I offer the sacrifice of his thought. And that's the same thing which we do today. And let me read that again. This saint here said, I am a priest of the Lord, and to him I do priestly service, and to him I offer the sacrifice of his thought. Sounds like he's expounding, the anointing is expounding some things which Chief Elder Peter spoke in that assembly. Okay, for his thought is not like the thought of the world, nor the thought of the flesh, nor like them that serve carnally. Okay, we talked about that. The sacrifice of the Lord is righteousness and purity of heart and lips. Sounds like something today, doesn't it? Okay, that was also another sacrifice a first century saint wrote down concerning the assemblies which they had. Okay, here's another one, Odes of Solomon 23:11. And there was with it a sign of the kingdom and of his government. Okay, and of course this was a part of a sacrifice here from a saint there. Concerning government, we see sacrifices drawn from numerous things which the first century apostles taught the church. Here's another one, last one we'll have time for at this point, for the bell rings. Odes of Solomon 24:8-9. And the Lord destroyed the imaginations of all them that had not the truth with them. For they who in their hearts were lifted up with their deficient in wisdom. And so they were rejected because the truth was not with them. Okay, so as we share the knowledge of God today, you also prepare your sacrifices. And these things which you write down 1,000 years from now during the millennial reign of Christ, maybe you might rediscover some of these things which you wrote down in the assemblies of the second eighth week. Okay, have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, we'll continue on here, but we're jumping around a little bit from Ephesians to 1 Peter. Okay, also be talking some things from Proverbs. Okay, which has to do with the illustration you'll see there in Facebook, the spirit of wisdom, okay, in the gate there, and also some Proverbs, Zechariah to Nehemiah, okay, which is parallel to the things that are facing the church today. Okay, the Apostle Paul goes on here, as he's writing this letter to the saints at Ephesus, and this, of course, was to establish a confirmation and a witness regarding the things which Chief Elder John received there in the book of Revelation, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Okay, so we see that those which are in Asia there, Ephesus in Asia, continually received more instruction from the apostles, as the saints there at Ephesus received these letters. So the Apostle Paul, again, is reassuring them and regarding the knowledge of their cleansing. Okay, so that they were testing those which say they are apostles and not, and have found them liars. So now that's what Chief Elder John said to the angel of the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation chapter 2. So now we can see the Apostle Paul was expounding on those things in confirmation of what Chief Elder John said. Okay, and the saints were receiving this instruction. Okay, so Paul is also including his calling within these epistles. Okay, so he begins his epistle, and we see also in chapter 3, he's continuing on with that tradition. Okay, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, those which went through their cleansing. They did what the apostle Chief Elder John said there, by the angel which was instructing him. We can see that the Lord did not remove their candlestick. Okay, but they did, what was instructed for them to do, and therefore overcoming the contradiction of the doctrine of Nicolaitans, and the teachings of Nicolaitans, the doctrines, teachings, and the deeds of Nicolaitans, overcoming that corruption, they also received a gift, of partaking of the tree of life. Okay, and that is parallel to the knowledge that they were receiving at that time. The knowledge that they were receiving was for the healing of the soul, and so that's why the leaves of the tree of life is for the healing of the nations. Is a memorial and a testimony of Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection, sanctifying us spirit, soul, and body. So the Apostle Paul is carrying on that tradition here, okay, as he's writing to those at Ephesus. Now, because of this anointing, Paul says, okay, by which we bond and which we bond and build the house of the Lord with. Okay, and it, now he says, I'm a captive. I'm a slave to the altar. Okay, and he says here, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I'm a slave to the altar. A priest is a slave to the altar. We're bound to that altar. Okay, we're bound to the token of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. This cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Okay, again, he's including his calling within the tokens, okay, of the covenant, okay, which we see in the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. Okay, the gifts, the callings, grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, which, of course, Paul will bring out in more detail in the next chapter. Okay, which we see, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now, why is God doing this? These are tokens. Okay, a calling is a token. Okay, every token, okay, is in service to the king. Okay, every token is in service to the king. It's for the building of the body of Christ. Okay, and we're building this by the Spirit, which he brings out. Okay, now, we don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. Okay, grieving, which means as to put, okay, it's like putting stoppage in it. Okay, and the kingdom of God is constructed for one thing and one thing alone. Okay, and that has to do with the virtues, okay, of our offerings. Okay, that is the first fruits of the field, the virtues of our offerings for the praise of this glory of God, the praise of the glory of his grace. And this is what he brings out in chapter 1 concerning the praise of the glory of God, the praise of the glory of his grace. Now we see that in chapter 1, verses 6 and verses 12. The praise of the glory of his grace. This is what he takes pleasure in. We're offering back to God himself. Okay, and we see the same thing in verse 12. That we should be. Okay, that he says here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, that we should be. Praise of his glory to as concerning being the first fruits of God. The first fruits, who first trusted in Christ. We are the first fruits of his kingdom. The praise of the glory. It has to do with, this is the crown which we're putting on. And we see that in the illustration on Facebook. As concerning the little girls placing on her head the crown, which has to do with truth, that she is growing in grace. She's identifying herself as an overcomer. I'm growing in the grace of God. I'm overcoming. And therefore, her soul is as a fruitful tree or as the mountain of springs that benefits all those that partake of it, and that's what we do. Our soul is as a fruitful tree, planted by the rivers of water. Psalms 1 brings that out. And by this association, we're able to benefit other people. Spiritually benefit them. Okay? Now let's go on here. Okay, so this is the benefit you, Paul says here. To benefit you with the true bread, which Paul says here, which I laid up in my heart for you. Okay, if you have heard the dispensation, the grace of God. That means if you understood this, the changing season and time frame, for this benefit. And we understand the changing season and time frame of the second eighth week. Okay, the shifting of the weeks. Okay, and because of the shifting of the weeks, you are benefiting, from the knowledge. Now, those which do not identify the shifting of the weeks, the changing of the seasons, are not benefiting from the knowledge. They're still trying to groom the fruits of, previous seasons, which, of course, by that time has fallen to the ground and spoiled. They're eating the sour grape, while we're partaking of the grape of this season, which is a sweet grape. Okay, the sour grape is a previous season, and time frame of that week, as it was also with the third week, the fourth week, the fifth week. Okay, we're not partaking of the fruits of those seasons, because that fruit is far gone, dissolved. It's far gone, dissolved. It's corrupt. It's no longer usage for this present season. But this season, this changing season, the second eighth week, is a new time frame of the sweet grape. And you're partaking of the sweet grape. Okay, so if you have heard the disposition, the grace of God, that is for this benefit, the benefit of this anointing. Of course, God is governing our destiny. With his grace. He's salting us with his grace. So that every sacrifice which proceeds from the heart to the lips, is salted with grace. And meets God's expectation. it goes on here, if you have heard of the disposition of the grace of God, which is given me. Okay, so with that, those things which God has assigned me, of course, Paul's talking about himself. He's not talking about the reader. He's talking about the writer himself. Paul, the apostle Paul wrote this. So he's talking about that which benefits you. Okay, was first given to me. If you see, it was given through the stewardship. Okay, which is given to me, the anointing. Okay, the anointing upon this rod. So he's identifying himself as the rod, the key, the door. Okay, if you have heard the disposition of grace of God, which is given to me as this rod, which God assigned this to the rod. That's why God gave the symbolism to the rod, to the stewardship, and to the priesthood under that which is of the third week of Moses, or fourth week of Moses. If you have heard the disposition, the grace of God which is given to me, to you were. So you see that it's given, it was assigned to the stewardship and for in order to govern the destiny of the church, to oversee it. And to me, for the church, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. So you might hide the word mystery there, revelation and mystery. Okay, the mystery which means that which is concealed. Okay, and only the grace of God can bring that to our understanding, which has to do with revelation. And so it shows that the Apostle Paul is defining grace, okay, with revelation. Okay, and the revelation possesses wisdom and knowledge and understanding. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Okay, and of course this is to comfort. We comfort one another with this knowledge for the increase of his peace. Okay, so we're putting the peace of God on. And of course we witness this pattern in the scriptures of history, okay, for today. Whereas he says here, as I wrote afore in a few words, this is which has to do to the scripture history. Okay, and we see the scripture history today unfolding itself, okay, and manifesting itself as unfolding and manifesting itself, okay, within the second eighth week assemblies, okay, second eighth week church. Okay, whereby when you read, okay, that is we can understand this pattern of history, okay, you also may understand my knowledge that may set order to these facts. That he's not preaching Moses, he's not preaching Abraham's covenant, he's not preaching Moses' covenant, he's not preaching Noah's covenant, he's not preaching Enoch's covenant, okay, but he's teaching the grace of God for that first eighth week, okay, which, of course, is a reflection of previous covenants and previous weeks, as a reflection of it, okay, but we're not bonding with that, okay, but we can see the thread of that history, okay, as we see also the fulfilling of it during the millennial reign. Okay, what you see unfolding right now in the second eighth week church, you also see, we'll also be observing through the seventh week, but we'll be in heaven. Okay, but those which are converted through the preaching of Enoch and Elijah and 144,000 through the seventh week, okay, they'll be identifying with which is those things which are unfolded through the chief stewards of the seventh week. They'll be joining themselves to them and taken in a second rapture. Okay, and those, okay, which were contemplating it but not entering into it, okay, will have to endure the severity of the great tribulation. That's the second 3.5 years. Okay, whereas the mark of the beast will be issued during the second 3.5 years. Okay, and you can see that unless you kiss the feet of the beast, okay, your life will not be spared. Okay, during the second 3.5 years. That's why I put the illustration of the idol in the door. Okay, the idol in the door, that illustration there. The people that entered the town had to kiss the feet of the idol to show their commitment. Okay, so you see the false stewardship and the false priesthood, okay, standing before that idol in that gate. That's the wisdom of the world. And the foolish, they kissed the feet of the beast. They, the wise, we kiss the feet of Christ, as the woman wiped his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Okay, which shows the washing, okay, the washing for knowledge. Okay, the water of the knowledge of God. You see, our baptism is the knowledge of Christ by which we're cleansed. Okay, for the increase of this knowledge. Okay, and that was a symbolism of the woman, which represented also the church. So whereby when you read, Paul says here, understanding this pattern of history, you may understand, because now setting order to these facts, okay, about these things, about the hidden knowledge. Okay, that the things which are invisible, they're invisible to the logic of man, but made clear to those of us by the Spirit. The anointing clarifies them, clarifies it for us. Okay, now we can see a good example of this when Elisha was in Dothan, standing upon the wall, okay, with one of the sons of the prophets. And Elisha made a statement, okay, which the student, okay, didn't understand at first. And so Elisha says, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them," with the Syrians, okay, which are surrounding us to destroy us. "They that be with us are more than they which be with them." Okay. And then Elisha prayed, and the eyes of the lad were open, and he saw chariots of fire, okay, with the dominions. They saw the dominions there, okay, which has to do with thousands of angelic soldiers. Okay, we'll see the same thing, okay, which they will be assisting us when we come back to cleanse the earth with fire to establish the reign of our King, the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can see that which is only revealed by the Spirit, and you see that the stewardship as Elisha, by the revelation of God, okay, he foresaw things, but those which the carnal mind, the logic of the student there, he did not see the fiery armies of the Lord, okay, until the stewardship opened his eyes to that. And it's the same thing today. The anointing opens your eyes to the stewardship and to the armies of heaven, okay, which are there to assist you. Okay, the anointing is there, okay, is your power. The anointing is your power. The anointing is as a soldier, as a power to assist you in your overcoming. That's why we're taking on, okay, the vestments of our priesthood is the armor of life. Of course, the Apostle Paul goes into that armor there. Take on the armor of God. Okay, has to do with the vestments of your priesthood. And with these things, okay, these are tokens of the dominions. Okay, the angels of power. Okay, by which we overcome. See, whereby when you read this, he says, here you may understand my knowledge. This is grace. Now remember the word revelation there, verse 3. So highlight the word revelation in verse 3. You draw a line from revelation to understanding and knowledge here in verse 4. Okay, by which it was revealed to him. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, so these are things which he's unfolding to. And it's called the mystery of Christ because it's veiled from the logic. Only anointing can allow you to pierce through the curtain of logic. So now saying that, why don't we jump over to 1 Peter? So make sure you put your marker here, okay, and in Ephesians, because we'll be coming back here in about 30 minutes. Okay, so we're gonna jump over here to 1 Peter. Chief Elder Peter is going to give us a little more insights concerning this living witness. Okay, so you want to turn over to 1 Peter right now. Hey, that's the first epistle Peter, Chief Elder Peter, is bringing to the understanding of the church regarding these things, this mystery before the foundation of the world, and our returning to him, a coming full cycle. The condition of the soul before time in the bosom, also our presence today within this dimension of waters, only to return with increase to the Father. Now we'll return back to him with Christ's fullness for increase. Okay, the increase in the crystal sea, okay, in our Father's bosom. Okay, we'll return. We came in this dimension innocent, pure, and with purity and glory, and we're going to be received back to him again in innocence and purity and glory. When we came into this dimension, okay, we had not sinned yet. Okay, we had done neither good nor evil, as the scriptures bear out. Okay, now before Esau and Jacob came into this dimension, okay, it's written in the prophets there, Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. Okay, these things were spoken before they came in this dimension, okay, which is giving us insight concerning Esau. Okay, was not a consenter. Esau was a protester. Okay, but Jacob was a consenter. Okay, and so God took a consenter soul and a protesting soul and put him down into the womb of Rebekah. Okay, and here were born twins. Okay, and the names given to them, Esau, a protester, and Jacob, a consenter, okay, from one womb. It teaches us today concerning how God put both together within this dimension. Okay, God put both together in this dimension until the time of separation, okay, where those which receive the inheritance would be separated, okay, from those which indulge themselves, okay, with the things of this world. Okay, those which follow the glitter as Esau will be cut off. Okay, but those which follow the grace as Jacob, okay, will receive the tokens of his inheritance. Okay, which he did. Now the Apostle Peter, chief elder Peter here, is bringing this to our attention. So the Father appointed himself as God, okay, which Peter is going to bring out, okay, as the first veil of fire, and to be the vehicle to redeem us in the waters of the second veil becoming flesh. This is a test of choices of conformity. Okay, by himself is Jesus Christ. So Christ, by his propitiation and tokens, okay, replace the tokens of Moses, and this is to cleanse the conscience by the anointing, okay, which the letter could not do. Okay, and Chief Elder Peter is going to bring this out. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay, we see this here. Now we'll go up to, we'll read 10 verses here, then we'll be jumping from here to Proverbs to see about this wisdom. So Peter is identifying himself here. Peter, an apostle, the steward of his grace, of the eternal tether, not an earthly genealogy, but the heavenly. Okay, so Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Jesus Christ, to the strangers, those of covenant faith and sojourners, not rooted in the world's aspirations. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Cappadocia, Asia, the seven churches of Asia. Okay, here he's addressing Asia too. So Chief Elder Peter is also building upon that which Chief Elder John received in Revelation. Okay, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Okay, those which consented to his name in his bosom. Okay, we are those which are affirming his witness. Okay, that which is now inscribed within us. Okay, that inscribed in us by this fire, the fire of the veil, in order for us to penetrate that veil. Elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father. Okay, by which he's parenting us, governing our destiny through sanctification of spirit. That is the gifts which separated us to himself. Okay, by the living witness upon the works of the works of this covenant of faith. Okay, in a new priesthood, through sanctification of spirit unto obedience, which is your priesthood, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, this is by the record that Jesus provided for us with fire and water, the blood, fire and water. He's a mediator of these two dimensions, the dimension of water, by which he came to redeem us and presented us with his anointing as a vehicle to bring us to the dimension of fire. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, being the true Lamb, is now cleansing our conscience, that is, from the sting of death, okay, because we're going through a second circumcision. Okay, these are by his gifts, which expand the soul to overflow in his goodness. And we see an example of this, the overflowing of the waters of Jordan. The overflowing of waters of Jordan happened during the harvest. And when you're harvesting the knowledge of God, your soul is also expanding. Okay, it's overflowing. Okay, it's increasing. Okay, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is the water of heaven, okay, by which he's expanding, increasing, and enlarging your soul. Okay, so these gifts he's providing for us is circumcising our heart. Okay, and through every circumcision, okay, you receive pain for the benefit. Pain for the benefit, which we see grace and suffering. Grace and suffering. Pain and benefit. Okay, for the increase of God's kingdom in you. Okay, of course, the Lord marks the progress of this, okay, giving you a report card through your dreams, your level one dreams. Okay, and regarding your progress. This is what I've done, this is what I'm doing, and this is the goal. Okay, concerning the cycles of your growth. Okay, and he says, grace to you and grace be unto you and peace, be multiplied. Cite the word multiplied there. Okay, his gifts will continually expand, okay, the soul to the place of overflowness, the overflowing in his goodness. Be multiplied, grace and peace. Okay, grace and peace. This revelation, okay, will arrest, you see, the hostility. Hostility rested in the soul before the grace of God came. Okay, hostility rested within the soul. But now the peace of God is arresting that hostility. The immolation, the envy, and the strife. It's arresting that because we're putting on the crown of peace through these cycles so that we're no longer hostile towards God, okay, nor envious and nor malicious or malice towards our brother. So blessed be the God and Father. This is like a spiritual sacrifice. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Okay, he's restoring to us this innocence. Okay, as a chaste virgin, he's restoring to us the innocence. Okay, which was lost. Okay, we lost innocence. As we grew within this vessel of flesh. What we gained in the vessel of flesh. Okay, we gained, you say, the perceptions of corruption, which is the wisdom of this world. Okay, in other words, we kissed the feet of the idol in order to increase, okay, the probabilities of the aspiration. But now we're no longer kissing the feet of the idol. We're kissing the feet of Christ, okay, by which also we are being washed. So he says the word blessed right here. This is a sign of Abraham. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sign which is given to us, okay, is concerning this fire, okay, so that we can pass through the altar or the veil into heaven, the veil of the bosom. Okay, we see also these things, okay, in the book of Revelation. This is what Peter is reflecting upon here in the book of Revelation, the altar, the temple, the throne. He's reflecting on the altar, the temple, the throne. You have to pass through the altar of fire through the courts of the temple in order to approach to the throne. Okay, the cleansing process of this journey ends in the throne, where we'll be with the Lord forever. Okay, and then we shall ever be with the Lord, okay, as Revelation brings out. Okay, we will be there in his presence forever, witnessing, okay, listening to the counsel, and witnessing to the judgments which are set forth. We're gaining wisdom in his presence. Okay, every moment we're there, we're gaining wisdom upon wisdom. Okay, grace upon grace and glory upon glory. Okay, and virtue upon virtue. This is the things which are partaken of in part now. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But then we shall see him face to face. So what we're partaking of right now, okay, is in part. But then, okay, in his presence, okay, there'll be no filter, okay, for the receiving of this light and life. No filter. Right now we're receiving the filtering. Okay, the filtering of this knowledge. Okay, from the knowledge of his presence. Okay, as it comes from the Father's bosom. Is filtered there through the through the four beasts. Okay, and the four beasts which are full of eyes, and the angels which are of his presence. The revelation which they receive, okay, is in its full order. It's like a cow or a bullock. Okay, the high priest received from the people the bullock. Okay, but the beast, okay, was slaughtered and removed, and the priest, it wasn't the high priest to eat the whole cow. He couldn't eat the whole cow. You ever try to eat a 10-pound steak? Okay. Now, you can imagine a priest there trying to eat a whole cow. He didn't eat the whole cow, okay, or the whole lamb, but he struck in a portion of it and took it, a three-pronged fork. He struck into the meat of the beast upon the altar, and that which he took to himself, it was consumed, him and for his whole family. This is the filtering of the knowledge. Okay, and we receive the filtering of the knowledge. Okay, all we're doing is we're taking little tidbits of this. We're putting it on our sandwich. So we're taking some of this. We're taking grace and truth here. We're putting it on our sandwich and we're partaking of it. Okay, but when we pass through the altar, through the courts of the temple, okay, into the presence of our Lord in his throne there, there is no longer a filter, which means you are receiving full impact, okay, of the cow, okay, of this knowledge, which is, of course, a great benefit for our reigning during the millennial reign of Christ as we share this knowledge, okay, with the vessels of flesh in this dimension. Okay, we can also take the form of flesh in this dimension during the millennium as we, have a buffet, okay, of knowledge. Okay, the assemblies will be a buffet of knowledge, okay, as we continually issue portions to each individual, okay, in the assembly, and we listen to the reciprocations of knowledge, okay, because we'll be functioning as their priest, okay, we'll be functioning as their king, and we'll be functioning as their priest, okay, upon receiving this knowledge, okay, which will be confirmed in the presence of Jesus himself, okay, we will go to the presence of the Lord himself. And we will also make a report. We will give a report to the Lord, okay, regarding our region, okay, those things which were assigned to us, okay, during the millennial reign. All right, let's go on here. These are things which Peter was also instructing the first century church, which were also carrying the same tradition now. They elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of Spirit, verse 3, unto obedience. The anointing always leads us to the source. So those which in which they are engrafted with the seal, okay, will always, okay, continually build this house. If they're not building the house, it's because they don't have the seal. They're growing to the wrong feeder. Okay, in other words, they're gendering in a stranger's field. It's the same thing we see in the laws and the statutes and commandments of that first covenant. Okay, that they're not allowed to have their animals or beasts wander into the neighbor's field. Okay, and to eat the produce of the other field. Okay, and to do that would be, okay, a fine would be given. They have to make payment, okay, for transgression. Okay, and we can see the false religious system is eating in the wrong field. Okay, they need to stay in the field which is sanctified. That's why the Levites were the salt of the earth. The Levites, okay, were sprinkled throughout all the tribes. Okay, and cities of refuge. The teachers of the law and the cities of refuge were the salt for the people. They were preserved the faith of the people so that yearly the people would go and offer their sacrifice on the Passover and the high feast days, okay, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Ingathering, and also the Feast of Weeks. Okay, they would be, the people would go there. Okay, there. And of course, there are two Passovers every year. Okay, the first Passover, okay, was for those which were immediately there, and those which connect make the first Passover were accepted to the second Passover, okay, which is also shows the first eighth week and the second eighth week, okay, as we are also attending to the Passover of the Lord in the second eighth week. So we're elect according to foreknowledge of God, these things which he predetermined in the bosom, okay, which we consented to, okay, as the Jacob spirit, not the Esau spirit. Okay, so blessed be the God and Father, he that benefits us receives the benefits of this work and engrafting, okay, having written his commandments within us, according to the abundance of his mercy. Okay, you see, I hide the word mercy there, because this shows his personal and active involvement. This is to awaken our conscience by faith in his promises, okay, the promises of these tokens, and the token involvement since the beginning of his bosom, the beginning of creation. So blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says here, according to his abundant mercy, see the word according there, because he's identifying a source of authority, which according to this source of authority, which he already predetermined before the world was created, which he also instructed us before we came down here, has begotten us again. See that the word again there. Okay, unto a lively hope. Now in this dimension, we have been awakened out of the trance of death. Okay, by the knowledge, this new knowledge, okay, which was shared to us, but now is now being preached to us. It's awakened, which the Lord promised, that he would not abandon us when we come in this dimension. Okay, which, of course, all those which are in the Father's bosom before the world began, okay, stood in question. How will you communicate to us if we're not in your presence? Okay, and the Lord, okay, gave us reassurance and instruction and wisdom. He says, I will come to you in the dimension of waters, and I will speak to you by my spirit in these dimension of waters. I will put a testimony in your conscience in these dimension of the waters, and the seed will be awakened through the preaching of truth, so that you can be received back to me again. Okay, that's why it's called a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, and having risen from the dead is to remove the curse upon the conscience and to free the soul for fruit bearing. Okay, but of course, guilt is a cap of the soul. Okay, if a believer lives according to their guilt, they live according to law. And it puts a cap upon the soul, which means he's not receiving grace. Grace is given to us for a purpose of strengthening and reassuring us, giving us this confidence, okay, of this divine work. Okay, verse 4, to an inheritance. Hide the word inheritance there. Okay, now this, again, you can hide the word inheritance, and as foreknowledge of God before the world began, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. This is coming full cycle. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Okay, these are treasures awaiting us in the houses or the mansions of the crystal sea, which is the Father's bosom, being pure now, pure, innocent, and receiving this glory. Okay, we have now the glory of God in us. The glory of God in us. The glory, it has to do with the tokens of substance. Okay, which, of course, the Apostle Paul brings out. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, it's not realized with the carnal mind, or seen with a carnal eye, but it's realized by the anointing. The anointing makes this knowledge known to us, okay, so that we can live free, okay, of a defiled conscience, knowing that our repentance has been sealed. Okay, once the repentance is sealed, there's nothing to be repented of. Okay, but the Lord continually reassures us, okay, with your dreams, okay, with visions, because you're building upon the foundation of truth now for regeneration and renewing of the mind. To an inheritance, incorruptible, okay, it's free from frailty, and undefiled, is free from protesters. Okay, is free from those things of the protesters, false knowledge, evil knowledge. To inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away. Okay, in other words, it's not fruit that's soured. Okay, it's not soured fruit. Okay, like a sweet apple can turn sour, okay, once it lays on the ground for a while. Those which fall on the ground, okay, the beasts of the field eat. Okay, which shows us that the carnal minded eat the sour grape. Okay, the spiritual minded reap and eat the sweet grape. Okay, so therefore we have a treasure laid up for us in heaven that's incorruptible, where thief cannot break through and steal, where the moth cannot corrupt, and where rust cannot consume it. It does not fade away, which means it's ever increasing. The treasures which are laid up for us in heaven, which our Lord instructed us, where he said that to the apostles there, okay, and regarding, okay, you have mansions in heaven. Okay, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Okay, because this outer reach is Satan's shadow, and where death cannot mold it, nor diminish its value. Okay, or you could say corrupt its perceptions, because the shadow of death cannot reach into the light and life of God. In him is life, and in him is no darkness at all. And that's what Chief Elder John said. For in him is life, and life is light of men. And there's no shadow of doubt, nor shadow of turning in the light. Now you who are kept by the power of God, hide the word power there, because we're talking about that anointing. And this course, this goes back there to Ephesians chapter 3, which we talked about. Okay, understanding this mystery. You can't understand it apart from the anointing. So you consented. Okay, you consented, so you are those which are kept by this power, preserved by this power. Those who walk by faith are preserved by his love gifts, by the anointing. You who are kept by the power of God, the love gifts of his anointing, because God governs our destiny by this fire, okay, this salt fire, because God is a spirit. And also, God is a consuming fire, okay, and God is love. Okay, so we know that all these definitions work together. Okay, and all these definitions work together. It's like putting pieces of puzzle together. It gives us a picture of who he is. He's governing your destiny by these tokens of propitiation, okay, which is purging and cleansing us. Okay, it's restoring our innocence. He is restoring our innocence as the Lamb of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith, by your obedience to these commandments, as Peter said. This is a new commandment. Okay, Chief Elder Peter was given the church the new commandments, a new commandment I to, as Chief Elder John said. Okay, which thing is true in him and in you? The full cycle of regeneration now, okay, is through the new tokens, okay, of the second covenant. Okay, by which also God is called our Father, and he himself calls us his children. This is a commandment. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith Lord. I put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. And that's because you're walking in your sanctification. Your sanctification, okay, are the tokens of this new covenant priesthood. New covenant priesthood. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, okay, of Jesus' commandments unto salvation. Okay, the salvation has to do with the salvaging of the soul. The salvaging of the soul. Okay, God is remodeling your soul, okay, by this power. Okay, he's removing the old, okay, and putting in the new. Okay, he's remodeling your soul. Okay, after the damage. Okay, it's like restoring a house after fire damage. So the house was had smoke and fire damage to it. Okay, so you have craftsmen come in and they remove the things which had smoke and fire damage, Okay, and then they restore it to where it's habitable again. Okay, and then, of course, we can reflect upon the house of leprosy and that first covenant. The house of leprosy identifies, okay, the condition of the soul of man. Okay, so if a homeowner sees something that's strange, he says he would go to the priest and says, "It seems to me that there is a plague of leprosy in the walls of the house." And the priest told him, "Before I come and look at it, remove all the furniture out of the house." Okay. And so the priest would arrive. He would look and examine. If it be a fretting plague, okay, then the furniture, of course, would be condemned. But if it's not a fretting plague, the priest, of course, would come back after 7 days and look at it again. Then he would pronounce the house clean and sprinkle it with blood. Okay, of a sacrifice, you sprinkle blood on it. He says that this house is now clean. In other words, you can move your furniture back in, okay, inhabit it. Okay, that's the condition of the soul. As a condition of the soul. So it takes the stewardship and the priesthood to identify the condition of the soul, whether it be a fretting leprosy, okay, or it would be stayed in the wall. Okay, so wherever leprosy is at, it's scraped from the wall and it's replastered. It's scraped and replastered. If it returns, it's a fretting leprosy. Okay, but if there's no return, then the place is clean. Okay, and that's what the Lord does within our soul. The anointing, grace and truth, scrape the inner lining of the soul, or the rooms of the caverns of the soul. Okay, removing that which is a fretting leprosy, which has to do with those things which we, the false knowledge which we labored with. Okay, when we are under Satan's spell. Okay, that's a fretting leprosy. Okay, which is a sin unto death. But through your priesthood, the plague is stayed. See, the wall has been scraped, it's been replastered, and now you're inhabiting it. Okay, and now you're re-inhabiting it. Not only you're living there, okay, but you're also putting your treasures there. And you're laying up for yourselves treasures. Okay, now you who are kept by the power of God, being preserved now by His gifts, love gifts. You who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, okay, as a sign of His true witness, okay, opposed to the protester of His grace. Okay, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now see the word rejoice there is that you continue to build by this fire knowledge. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness to manifold temptations. We talked about that earlier, concerning both the Esau spirit and the Jacob spirit, okay, both inhabited one womb. Jacob was the blessed, but Esau was the cursed. Esau is the one that caused, see, the afflictions, because Rebekah said, okay, that Esau's choices, okay, of bonding with the women of this land greatly afflict me, which she was talking to her husband Isaac, who was a steward. Okay, Esau has brought reproach and affliction by the people he's engaged with. Yeah, because he's taking on also, see, their perceptions. But Jacob was one that she loved because he was one that studied the word. He was the one that listened to wisdom. We're in your great and rejoice. We're building and bonding now, though now for a season. Hide the word season there. Okay, because we talk about is concerning the appointed season. Okay, the appointed season, the pattern and the season there. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Okay, to stand, we want to continually stand justified, okay, in this grace. Heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that's by God now, might be found under praise and honor and glory. Right? Praise, honor, and glory upon our return. The virtue of this anointing makes you as holy ones to increase the house of God with. See, as He comes to reward you. Praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, though he stands invisible to the flesh, okay, that means as concerning the glitter, having not seen, you love the grace, you mate with the grace, you build with the grace, whom though now you see Him not physically, yet believing, embracing with expectation, okay, you rejoice, which means you're building and bonding towards this goal, with joy unspeakable, which has to do with this difficult to articulate and see in human words this miracle of regeneration which you're experiencing, receiving many gifts of power that will preserve your soul, receiving the end of your faith. as we see in Hebrews 13. The hope that is seen, now seen, okay, is the substance. And the substance is that which is in your conversation. The substance is in your conversation. The substance in your conversation shows that you're communicating from the foundation of truth within you. This is preserving your soul. Okay, it's marking you as a holy one, as a son of God or as a child of God. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, present, now, and future. It being is concerning deliverance and preservation. For these gifts preserve your soul in the innocence of faith and a pure conscience. Of which salvation? Of this mystery, of this progress. Of which salvation the prophets, even as David wrote in Psalms there, have inquired and searched diligently. That is a like total recall of the Spirit. Okay, who prophesied? Now, total recall of the Spirit, those who saw this history in the Father's bosom. Okay, they searched diligently because it was awakened within them, and they wrote down these things which they saw. But they couldn't comprehend this concerning its goal. Now we can comprehend its goal. And search diligently who prophesy the grace that should come unto you. That's to unfold this unique experience by the work of regeneration. Now let's jump over to Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs here. As you get your sacrifices ready, we're jumping over to Proverbs. We'll be reading a little more rapidly. Wisdom cries without. We're in Proverbs chapter 1. You can make some notes on that one too. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. That means listen to the prophet. Now you see the illustration there. Okay, the prophets there are reading the revelations which they received. They wrote down what God revealed to them, and they're reading it to the people there in the gate. So wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. That's why he says, kiss wisdom. Okay, we're not kissing the feet of the idol. We're kissing the feet of wisdom. She cries in the chief place of concourse, and she announces before the people and princes that gathered every day before the gates are open. So blessed are they that kiss wisdom in the gate every morning. She cries at the chief place of concourse in the opening of the gates in the city. She cries. She utters her words, which means she reads out loud her sentences, saying, "How long, you simple ones, you love simplicity, or how long will you unlearned youth?" Okay, embraced the youthful aspirations. How long, you simple ones, we love simplicity. And the mockers or the scorners delight in your scorning. Mockers hate to think, so they sow only questions. The mocker and the scorner, they don't want to think it through. They just want to ask questions. Of course, the apostles bring that out in their epistles. They're full of questions. Rather than godly edifying. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. They refute the truth and despise the holy knowledge, because truth demands accountability, but idols only demand your passion. Idols demand your passion. And you see this in false religious system every Sunday. Okay, the passion is being expressed because you're kissing the foot of the idols, which is false knowledge. Okay, but truth demands accountability, which you're attending. Okay, accountability has to do with that you're continually weighing. Okay, by the knowledge, weight, measure, and rule. It's on a scale of holiness. Okay, it's concerning your progression, your progress. So turn you at my reproof. He says, repent to the stewardship that gives you this wisdom. And God will give the holy knowledge this witness by his anointing. So turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. That's the anointing. And I will make known my words unto you. The anointing will enrich your understanding, okay, which is your glory. Okay, now we're going to go to Zechariah. Okay, so you turn back the other way, okay, to the book of Zechariah. And we're going to see about wisdom here. We're going to have time. I would like to read the whole chapter because it's very rich. The history of this is unfolding today. Okay, so in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, okay, came the word of the Lord. The voice of the angel came to the Lord. The Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. Saying this, see, the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, came to this man, the steward. The Lord has been sore displeased with your fathers. That's their traditions and efforts to resolve their conscience. Therefore say you to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn you unto me. Now this is what he's saying in the gate. Turn to me, which is my covenant and voice. Turn you unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 4, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, see the word former prophets, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn you now from your evil ways, which has to do with the philosophy of the world, the evil way, false knowledge, and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken to me, saith the Lord. Which means God put the challenge there for truth, truth for accountability. But they didn't want the accountability, they just wanted the passion. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? The prophets he spoke by. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts ought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so he has dealt with us. In other words, everything that the prophet said would happen, happened. As we read on, we'll also read about the red horse. Okay, the horse is being released. The horses are released today. The four horsemen are released today and they're out throughout the whole earth. The horses were released during this time too. Now, about 2.5 months later, upon the 420th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees, which has to do with the blessing, there in the bottom, which is a valley. Behind him there were red horses speckled in white, not the black one, okay, red horses speckled in white. And he said, O my Lord, what are these? What do these things mean? He says, and the angel that talked to me said to me, I will show you, Zechariah, what these be. The man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, which is the angel, hey, these, now the red, the speckled, and white horses, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk. They were patrolling the earth. So you know that when certain events take place, that there's a horse that's grazing in your backyard. Okay, as concerning fire, earthquake, okay, or you say economic problems or riot, the horse, that horse is grazing there. Is it the black horse? Is it the red horse? The white horse? Okay, he's sent to walk to and fro through the earth. They were patrolling. Now they replied and answered. They gave a report. They replied and answered to the angel of the Lord, okay, and that stood among the myrtle trees. And he said this, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth seems to be peaceful. Okay, it sits still and is at rest. And the Lord says, this is inequity. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which you have had indignation these 70 years. The Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfort and comfortable words. That's what he does now with the second eighth week. Good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me, verse 14, said to me, cry you saying this, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem, for Zion with great jealousy. That means this is at the boasting of the sinners, the boasting of sinners of their idols, which they honor. Okay, they honor their idols with feasts and parades. Okay, but yet, the name of God is silent. There's no feast nor praise for God any longer. I am very sore displeased. This is what the Lord is saying. I am very sore displeased. Okay, the sinners annoy me. That's what he's saying. The sinners annoy me. Okay, and violate my feelings with their evil glory. They find pleasure in vain things to free their conscience from my fear. And that's what they're doing today. They're busying themselves with vain things to free themselves from fear. And that's what they're hearing. That's what they're hearing on, okay, their Instagrams and hearing on news and radio and whatever it is they're listening to there. The world's telling them, okay, how to ease their fear. But they're going in the wrong direction. I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward their affliction. That means that these sinners, yet sinners, they took pleasure in the mockery of my people to further their own injury. But now I will cover the sinners with perplexity. That's what the Lord is saying. I'm going to cover them with perplexity. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies, and my house shall be built in it. That's what the Lord is doing today. He's returning to his church with mercy, which he starts with stewardship. And your priesthood, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem, which means for separation. God is bringing a line upon the church to separate, to manifest those that despise God and those that reward him with love. Yet, he says, speak louder, announcing this message. He says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. This will be his token refuge. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, behold, four horns. These were the Gentiles who scattered Jerusalem and Israel by false knowledge to weaken their hands from laboring and to deny God's government and new stewardship. These were the four horns of the Gentiles. And I said to the angel that talked with me, Okay, what be these? What are these four horns here? And the angel replied to me, these are powers, are horns which have scattered Jerusalem, or Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Okay, which we'll read about here in a moment in Nehemiah chapter 4. They were mocking the Jews during the time of restoration. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Okay, these shall restore and build. Then I said, What are these? What come these to do, these carpenters? The angel that spoke said, these four horns here, the four Gentiles here, which have scattered Judah, so that no man to lift up the sad, which means the laws of shame my prophets and those that listen to them. But these four carpenters now are come, but these now, the four carpenters, see he's put these together here. But these are come to fray them away. To fray them, that means these four carpenters are come to agitate them and to remove their influence. That's the word fray there. To agitate them and to remove their influence by truth and to loosen the grip of fear, okay, of the people. On the people from the four horns of the Gentiles. To fray them away, to cast the four horns of Gentiles, which lifted up, they broadcasted, which lifted up their horn, the false stewards, over the land of Judah to scatter them. Now who are these four horns of the Gentiles? Well, these four horns are Sambalit, Tobiah, Gershom, and Zephaniah, okay, which we're going to read about right now. And Nehemiah chapter 4. So hop over to Nehemiah chapter 4, and it's only a few verses. Actually, in chapter 3, 31, and they were repairing the walls. After him repaired Melchiah, the goldsmith's son, and the son unto the place of Anithimim, the merchants over against the gate of Mithcad, and to the going up to the corner, and between the going up to the corner, the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. These are all fellow laborers. That's what we're doing. See, as fellow laborers, we are building the wall. Okay, we're building a wall. The wall of truth. Okay, the wall of truth and the temple of your priesthood. Each group was assigned a portion of repair. And you're repairing it through your prayers. And that's why we're gathering together a genealogy of prayers. A genealogy of prayer. Now it came to pass that when Sambalit heard, he was one of the four horns there, the Gentiles, that heard that we build a wall, he was angry and wroth, and he felt powerless. And of course he took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. This is so doubt and a challenge with many questions. And he made a great speech, and he spoke before the brethren for the police to arrest the people and the army of the Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? And you notice what we're reading here in Nehemiah, okay, is in the headlines today. Okay, what the Palestinians are doing to the Jews. Will they sacrifice? And when they make it in a day, are they going to try to bring now about the Messiah? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which they are burned? Yeah, the Palestinians mock the Jews today regarding the archaeology. They were digging in the earth, and that's what they're doing. They mark, in fact, whatever the Jews find in archaeology has to pass, okay, the critical eye of the Palestinian professors, because they don't want the history of the Jews to be known by the world. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, he was by him, and he says, even that which they build, a fox go up, even he shall break it down their wall. In other words, they're going to need our protection. And then Nehemiah says, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Now, we just read that. And give them for a prey in the land of captivity, that you, God, are our protector of faith. Cover not their iniquity. Uncover their evil roots, of the, you know, their past. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Okay, the builders, the carpenters. So we build on the wall. We continue to labor to complete this, regardless of conflict. We see this today. The second eighth week, we'll continue to build the house of God. We're building the tower of the Lord. Now, when the tower is finished, the rapture will happen. Okay, and all your contributions, okay, of prayer and prophecy are adding value to the tower. It's going to be built soon and completed soon. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together Under half thereof, for the people had mind to work. Okay, we see the same thing in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shimeah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehidabel, who was shut up, and he said, he was in prison, let us meet together in the house of God, we're within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay you. Yes, in the night will they come to slay you. In other words, he was telling Nehemiah, these people will come, they're going to try to assassinate you, need to run away. And then I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, but go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God did not send him, did not send Shemaiah, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. That was to cause us shame and to bend our thinking to his perspective. You see, these were the four horns of the Gentiles, which were sowing discord among the Jews. Therefore, Shemaiah, of course, hired that I, Nehemiah, should act according to the fear, that I should be afraid to do so and sin, and that they might have matter of an evil report, that they might reproach me, that are trying to make me appear as a fraud. My God, think upon me, think upon also Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, a false prophetess, Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets. We see the same thing today. False stewardship and false prophets that are projecting. Okay, they want to project the will of God for the church, but they're not projecting the will of God for the church. They don't want the wall to be built, nor the temple to be completed, which we have a mind to do. Okay, now we can go back to Ephesians, and we'll wind up there. So we talked about the mystery there in verse 4, whereby you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, okay, that which was concealed. The Apostle Paul was writing this letter for the purpose of restoring the church, according to that which the Lord revealed to Chief Elder John there in the book of Revelation. The Apostle Paul also was carrying that divine tradition, helping the saints there, giving them distinction between the false apostle and a true apostle, okay, and that which also the true prophets would confirm, okay, build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay, and let's finish on here, and we see this here in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs, which back then Sanballat was a Gentile. He couldn't be a fellow heir, so he wanted to sow discord. But the Gentiles should be fellow heirs now, because they have received the seal, in the same body as in covering, and partakers of his promise. That means now we're partaking of that one bread, and partaking of the one bread and drinking of the cup of wine, okay, which has to do with this covenant, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, okay, that which I preached to you, which Paul's saying here.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.